Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Football season is over. Winter sports are here. And how much did you pay for that tree? Yes, it's another December edition of OSA Today, the podcast. Yeah, come on in. You can put it right over there as long as you sweep up the needles when you're done. Welcome to OSA Today, the podcast. I am Bob Akamey, and thanks for finding us on the iHeartRadio app and ripcityradio.com/OSAA Today. The fall season has truly come to an end with the 6A football finale this past weekend at Hillsboro Stadium. And what a great finish for both Central Catholic and Lake Oswego. The Rams win the state 6A champ 49-28. For Coach Steve Pine, it is his third state championship as coach of the Rams. And Lake Oswego's crazy run after changing their offense late in the season make it to the final, but fall just short. Lots of heroes in that game, most notably for Central Catholic, the quarterback, Cade Knighton, who set a couple of records for the championship game, 31 of 36 passing, best passing percentage ever at any level in the state championship game, 396 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Well, you set a record today for best completion percentage ever in the championship game, and it was, you know, Taylor Alley, one of the Sheldon greats.
Oh, wow, wow.
But to go out and complete 86% of your passes in the state championship against a really good defense, and you look very comfortable from that first series.
Thank you. We knew we had our hands full. You know, LO's a really good team. They're disciplined. They play really sound football. But we knew that, you know, giving us a lot of man looks, you know, that we can, you know, take advantage of, whether they're playing off or with our guys on the perimeter. And, you know, I was able to sit back there comfortably. Line did a great job holding it down, and I was able to, you know, kind of go through everything and make the right reads and throw the ball.
And you force teams to do that because you got two slot guys that are dangerous. You got two tight ends you can put out there. So you it's very hard for anybody to do anything but man up.
Exactly. You know, and we have a plethora of weapons here at Central. And, it doesn't matter who has the ball. You know, our biggest thing is moving the chains. And, we did a really good job of that. You know, we were efficient, had a couple penalties every now and then, but, you know, we were able to focus, you know, dial in and, you know, finish every single drive.
And, you know, you had a year, you scored a lot of points, you're very effective, but you fought through some games. You know, you play Newburgh here in the fog, and you get that lead, and all of a sudden they're coming back. And so this was not easy every day,
was it? We were kind of unfortunate that the sun wasn't out, you know, like last week against Barlow. The rain condition doesn't make it any better, but, you know, we were able to deal with it, you know, with mental adversity and, you know, overcome the elements.
Now, after they came back to tie it today, did you start having some doubts or thinking, oh, we got to change something? Or because then you open it right back up.
Not really, because, you know, I've been playing with these guys a long time, you know, and again, like I said, we know how to finish. And given that LO, you know, they weren't stretching us, you know, vertically with the pass game, you know, I knew that if we were able to, you know, score quickly and, you know, get a stop, that, you know, I think we'd have the game.
Elijah Elliott, the senior running back, just one of the weapons Knighton has at his disposal. He ran for 91 yards and 3 touchdowns in the state championship game.
You've been posing for more pictures than anybody on the field. You got people here today, or you're just that popular?
No, it's just, I don't know. Probably popular.
You know, in the second half, I felt like you ran harder than ever in the second half. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was time to get the yards, keep the clock rolling. After all the carries you've had this year, were you ready to even stiffen up more?
Yeah, I'm just glad what I had, and just glad that we won. That's the most important thing. I don't really care about stats and all that. We got the goal. Our goal was to win, and we got the goal.
I think the beauty of this team is you have so many tools.
Yeah.
I mean, all the receivers he can throw at, and then, oh, by the way, you and Jackson carrying the ball. And so you just feel like there's always somebody who can do something.
It's always somebody open with this offense. I feel like we're unstoppable when we're all clicking together, and I don't really think anybody can stop us on the West Coast.
And when you do it at the end of the season, I mean, this postseason run was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And it just feel like every week you could do your thing.
Yeah, I mean, we know that we're best when we work together, you know. So when we work together and just do our thing, you know, and play relaxed. Like I said, we're unstoppable.
And the really underrated part of this Central Catholic team, I thought, was the defense. The core of linebackers did all the heavy lifting with tackles this year. And Joe Nizek, the senior in the middle, had a great championship game, 14 tackles leading the way for the defense.
Well, you got into this game, and of course, everybody expects offense out of Central Catholic, but in the end, you guys really put the clamps on Falcons, and the defense definitely played a role in this.
Yeah, our goal coming in was just to stop, that's basically what it was, stop Casey Falcons. You know, he was the best player, and we were not going to allow one guy to beat us. It was just build a wall up front, make him keep bouncing north and south, or make him keep bouncing east and west, because, you know, if he starts going north and south, we'll be in trouble. But we just got to make him bounce, break down, make a tackle. That was the game plan.
And this linebacker group, I mean, you guys, you don't just stand around in the middle. You guys work the edges. You're a really active group. That is a big heart of this defense.
Yeah, that's a big thing for us. We just try and block everything up front, make a bounce. You have to be active because we're not the biggest linebackers in the state. We have to be able to run and move and make plays in space. And that's really what it comes down to. That's our defense. Our defense is just run to the football. If you can run to the football, you can't make 11 guys miss.
So now the inevitable comparisons will come up to those 13-14 teams, which were awesome. You getting any feedback from anybody? What you would do if you played against Ryan Nall?
If we played against Ryan Nall? I don't even know what I'm happy I don't have to play against Ryan Nall playing his 13-14. That's a middle linebacker playing running back, and that's a man. So I don't even think what to start about playing Ryan Nall.
And now my big question, doing a lot of track in the spring, how far are you going to throw of a javelin this year?
I'm going to go 230 feet. So
230? Holy cats.
So just take another 15-foot, 13-foot jump, and I'll be right there.
Central Catholic the winner, 49-28. And now a few thoughts from my TV partner, Jordan Johnson.
Rapid reaction to the 6A championship game. I think the first thing you and I both said was, well, the best team won. Central Catholic executed so well and in so many different aspects of their game.
Yeah, 35 seniors, all this experience, Division I talent. You can't say enough good things about Lake Oswego and how they got here, especially with that win against Jesuit last week. But a lot of credit to the Central Catholic team. They faced obstacles and they overcame them. So I love Cade Knight and what he did today. You don't see people completing 86% of their passes ever. So I can't say enough good things. They deserve it. Congratulations to Central Catholic.
Cade Knighton, the great orchestrator of this team, sets, of course, the new record for completion efficiency in a state championship game. And from the very first possession, you know, nothing fancy. He doesn't just have to throw it deep downfield to Silas Starr. He finds Silas Starr, but he used everybody. He used all the tools in the box like we said he should.
Yeah, just so impressive. Silas with double-digit catches. Calvin did his thing on the other side. These other kids stepped up. But what's so difficult about doing that and not dropping the football, not making mistakes, is everybody knows you're getting the ball and you still have a game like that, especially if you're a Silas Starr. So Stanford's got to be super excited. What's great is we get to watch these guys on Saturday for the next 4 or 5 years, and I think the state of Oregon should be proud.
And Lake Oswego certainly executed the game plan. They did not go throwing the ball crazy all over the field. They let Casey Falcons be Casey Falcons. He puts up his insane numbers. And if they could have just kept it within one score continuously in the fourth quarter, they would have had that chance.
And that's the difference, is you need to be able to throw the ball, take yourself the length of the field in a situation like this when you're down a couple scores. And that's where they just kind of ran out of gas. You can't say enough, if we're having an all-time great team in the state of Oregon, Casey Falcons is at the top of that list. Today was just another example, 238 yards, I think, 30 rushes. He deserves a lot of credit as well.
A little later on, our editor-in-chief at OSA Today, Jerry Ulmer, will stop by. He'll share some of his favorite moments of the fall championship season. The cross-country postseason continued this past week for many Oregon runners. Summit High School's athletes, competing under the club name of Central Oregon, finished second in the nation at Nike Cross Nationals at Glendevere Golf Course. Remember, they were the national champs a year ago. This year, they're second. Fifi Max led the way with her 10th place finish as an individual. And of course, E.J. Holland from Ashland, Oregon's top male middle distance runner, was sixth overall in the national championships. Coming up this weekend, it's Junior Olympic Cross Country Nationals in Madison, Wisconsin, and that will mark the end of cross country season nationwide. Well, cross country, football over, basketball is here. Let's get an early look at boys basketball in the large school classifications around the state with one of our resident experts, Wilsonville High School head coach Chris Roche.
Let's start off and just talk about the excitement of early season basketball. We'll spend a little more time with the tournaments here in a couple of weeks on the podcast, but just that whole sense of cranking it up. A lot of successful schools are coming off of football. As a coach, what are you trying to see out of your team in these first weeks of practice and getting ready for the first games?
Well, definitely is an exciting time. You know, everybody starts 0-0 with big dreams and aspirations of achieving this or that. And I think as a coach, you're mostly looking at, you know, trying to evaluate your strengths and your weaknesses and figure out how you're going to attack the season. And that's a process that begins, obviously, before the first practice. It's, you know, the end of the previous season and into summer league, and you're always evaluating. But right now, it's really a time to try to figure out, okay, where are we weakest, and how do we do to shore those things up, and where are our strengths, and how are we going to, you know, fully take advantage of those. And at the same time, you're looking around the state trying to see, you know, what's out there and in your league, you know, who's tough. And so it's a real fun time, definitely a season of renewal.
Well, you know, on the OSA Today website, of course, we have a pretty thorough coaches poll that everybody willingly takes part in. And so often in high school, though, polls go back to, well, they were good last year. How much do you look back? You have to look back on the past performance before you can make any guess about what a team's going to be like.
Yeah, I think the early season polls are tricky, you know, even for coaches who are intimately involved and you know, see a lot more than the average fan might. It's tough in the preseason to know exactly who the best teams are going to be. But I think there are some sort of usual suspects in a lot of the classifications this year that have a lot of players back who are, you know, experienced achievement guys who have done big things. So there are some powerhouse matchups, and I think this year is going to be a great, great season of high school basketball.
Well, today we're just going to talk about the top three boys classifications. And it is certainly full of repeating teams that finished on the state tournament last year. And a tremendous amount of returning players. This was quite the junior class around the state of a large classifications. Now let's start with 6A and talk about Jefferson, who were a little shocked not to win it. Gene Potter did his usual insanely good coaching job with Jesuit in the state championship game. And Jeff settled for second place. But they're coming back with two outstanding players, Nate Rollins Kabunge and Cameron Robinson, and then this freshman, Mookie Cook, and this is quite the big three for Jeff.
Oh, Jeff is loaded. I mean, they're really good. And mentioning what Jesuit did last year, that was really quite an impressive run made, and they had a very good team, but Coach Potter definitely maximized what they had, and kind of a Cinderella story to come out of, not out of nowhere because it's Jesuit, but still to do what they did and win the state championship last year when they really weren't picked to do that was really impressive and kind of a fun thing to watch. But it's going to be hard for anybody, I think, this year to upset Jeff because they are loaded, as you say, and I think their size is just so formidable. You know, those Rollins Kabunge and Robinson are huge, and then the freshman I think is like 6'7" now, Mookie Cook, and those are really, really good, talented players, and they're not alone. You know, they have great depth and great quickness and a little bit of everything, really. So I think Jeff is going to be a team to watch for sure, and they should be fun to see. You know, just who can contend with them will be interesting.
And Jeff opened with a 20-point win against Wilson the other night. They're headed to Hawaii for the Iolani tournament, and then we'll get to see them back in Oregon at the Les Schwab Invitational at the end of December. In the coaches' poll, Jeff is number one. Central Catholic is number two. And, of course, we just saw Central Catholic's football team win a state championship with a giant senior group. And it seems like Central's kind of riding high with seniors in all of their sports right now. And that stuff gets kind of contagious too, when you got athletes that have been together for 4 years and get that winning vibe.
Oh, there's no question about it. In schools that, you know, sometimes you'll hear coaches lament about basketball coaches lament about, you know, how tough it is to get a later start with your guys if they're participating in football deep into the playoffs. And what we've always found, because we've had a number of ball teams that have gone, you know, very deep, is that it's a good thing. You know, you've got great athletes, they're winning, they're competing, you know, they're going through the fire, and when they show up for basketball, even if it's a little later than everybody else, you're usually getting strong, competitive guys who are successful, and that helps any team. So Central Catholic is going to be good for sure. They're another team with great size, you know, 6'8", 6'7", along the front. Darius Kakwasi is a great player, a Division I type of player. So they're a team to watch, and he definitely could be one of the teams that pushes Jeff.
And like Oswego came into the state tournament last year as the number one seed, ended up in the third position. What do you see in the Lakers for this year?
Well, Coach Cho does a great job over there. And I think, you know, he took over for Coach Schaaf a few years ago now. And it's always tough when you take over for somebody who's, you know, a legend. And that's what he was tasked with. And he's built a program that's really, really good and really solid. And they're not quite as big as Jeff Central Catholic, but they have good lengths too. I mean, they're 6'4", 6'5", almost across the board, kind of interchangeable parts, really good players, run a good system, push the ball, and they put a lot of pressure on you. So I would expect Lake Oswego to be another really good team that could battle those guys.
The rest of the top five in the preseason coaches, Polk Barlow is number four, Westland and Clackamas tied for fifth. Let's move on to 5A, and of course we talked to Chris Roach. We're talking about Wilsonville basketball, returning state champion. You're ranked picked number two behind Churchill, the team you beat in the final. Of course, lots of knowledge between those two programs, and it is crazy how many returning starters are on both of these teams. I mean, nobody got drafted, hardly.
Right. No, Churchill, I think, and I don't know exactly how it fell out, but at one point it looked like they would have 11 out of their 12 guys back from last year to this year, and the person who was not returning didn't play a significant role on the team. So I mean, they literally have, or we're gonna have, just about everybody back, and they were really, really good last year. I mean, they went into the tournament ranked number one, hardly had lost. You know, they played in the Les Schwab last year, so I think they got beat there a couple of times, but other than that, they pretty much waltzed their way to the finals, and then we were lucky enough to play a great game and just kind of nip them and win it. But they've got a great point guard who's only a sophomore, Samaje Morgan, lightning quick kid, who's, as a sophomore, already going to be one of the best players in the state. And then they have a couple of kids who were recruited and have Division I offers, and Kalen O'Neill and Brian Garacki. Garacki ended up committing to Point Loma, so he'll be playing Division II basketball. But both of those guys have Division I offers. So they're a very, very good team. And it's interesting because Max Preps did a deal where they took the number one team, regardless of classification, for every state. And for Oregon, they projected Churchill this year, even though they're a 5A team. So I don't know if they're going to be that good. Now, I only say that out of respect for Jeff and Central Catholic and Weffin and all of those programs. But Churchill is good, and I think they're the consensus heavy favorite to win it at the 5A level this year. Coach Bookin does an amazing job.
Well, he does. He's had quite the run there and continues to get it done. And, of course, you have plenty of experience from growing up around that system, so you know about that culture. Tell us about your team, though, Wilsonville. You've got plenty back, particularly in your front line.
Yes, we do. We have three starters back, and Dakota Reber, Keegan Shivers, and Gabe Reichel, and all of those guys are guys who, you know, have played a lot of basketball, a lot of varsity basketball. I think they're won the league 3 years, all three of their years, and gone to the state championship game all three of their years. So it's kind of a unique, fun situation for those guys. They're talented kids, but we lost, you know, like everybody except for maybe Churchill. We lost some really key guys, and what we lost were seniors who knew their roles and were tough kids and kind of glue guys, would do the unglamorous, you know, tough things that help a team be successful. And so for us, it's going to be important that we're able to find that. And we've got work to do that way. But we have some time.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Talent, there's no question about it. And we're excited about, you know, our team and what we might be able to do. And we know it's going to be challenging with all the other good teams out there. But we're excited to get things going.
And you're playing in two tournaments before the end of the year, and in good ones, the Capital City Tournament in Salem. And, of course, you're going to be in Milles Schaub along with Churchill. So you're going to get that test early for your group.
Yeah, it's going to be really quite a challenge. And for us, you know, I think we ended up taking 7-2 last year. You know, we're not going to be able to judge our success by solely record. You know, I mean, we're going to have to look at effort and improvement. And because those two tournaments, Capital City Classic before Christmas and Milles Schaub after Christmas, those are doozies. And the teams you face, there's no rest for the weary. You have to be ready to go. And you might get punched in the face one night. And if you're licking your wounds when the second game starts, it's only going to get worse. So some of it's sort of a character building thing. But I do think it'll stress us out. It'll show us where we're weakest for sure, and it'll help us get better as long as it doesn't break us. And we're going to have to hang in there through it all. But if we can do that, in the long run, it'll make us better. I think 2 years ago, we had a tough preseason schedule, not as tough as this year, but a tough one. And we ended up like 4-6 in the preseason, I think. But we improved and we hung in there and we stayed together. And by the end of the year, we'd run 17 in a row and made it back to the state championship game. So I think for us, we know this preseason is going to be challenging. And it's not just those two tournaments. We also play out West Lynn to open the year, which is, you know, with Coach Bukla back, they're on the rise and you know, looking to be the Mighty Lions again, and probably will be very soon, if not already. And then we also have two games in California against really good teams. So, I mean, there's no breaks in there, but that's okay. You know, we want to challenge. We want to push our kids, and we want to see, you know, we want to enjoy these things. You know, part of it should be for the fun, not just for the ranking of record or any of that stuff. And our kids are excited about being able to participate in all of these things.
And so I'm moving into the 4A ranks now, and the coaches at least have picked Banks and C. Saint to be 1-2 again. Banks, of course, with that incredible trio of athletes who all graduated. Hayden Vandehey, Blake Markham, Blake Goebel, who were part of three championship teams, and yet their football team came right back and got into the state final with that second tier, and they do have some returnees. The one thing Banks has run into early, though, they lost their first two games last week because they played the defending 2A and 3A champs, Western Christian and De La Salle North Catholic, to open the season. So they tested their right off the bat with some champions, but still expectations that culture is going to carry them a long way. And then Seaside brings back quite a bit from that second place team, so that Coapa rivalry looks to be great again.
I think it will be, and the losses to the defending state champ, those are really good programs. You know, those Western Christian and De La Salle, those are really good teams. So I don't think there's any shame in that at all, and it'll probably prove, you know, another thing where it helps them get better. And I think Banks having won in football is another great sign. You know, they're going to be just fine. They've got athletes, and I think there's another Goebel in the fold. And
yes, there is.
so they're big. You know, they're not as big as they've been. You know, they had sort of the twin towers and very athletic guys too. But they graduate, but they're still going to be big and strong and athletic. But Newport, Coach Westerholm's done a great job over there too. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, out of those two when they face up, and they face up often. I'm sorry, not Newport, Seaside. When Seaside and Banks play, that'll be something, because those there's a big rivalry in high school basketball, and I think Seaside's going to be really good this year, so it'll be interesting to see who comes out on top in that league and down the road at the tournament.
And finally, just in general, because I know you're a big fan and you do follow far more than just your team, your league, and your class, just what's exciting you about basketball in the state this year?
Oh, I just, it's just everything. I think the OSAA does an amazing job. And, you know, sometimes it's when you have a complaint about this, that, or the other thing, it's easy to kind of blame the OSAA. But I've been fortunate enough to be involved in some of the committees and the processes behind the scenes. And really all they're trying to do is help kids and put kids in positions to experience great things together and learn life lessons and take memories with them that'll last. And so it's been, for me, like the last few years, it's getting to be a little bit older coach now. It's been fun to be involved in that process sort of behind the scenes and see how much people care and how hard they're working really solely for the benefit of kids. So I'm excited to be part of that side of things now. And then just overall, it's just another great season of hoops ahead. And there's great talent in the state this year, and it should be fun for fans to watch. And of course, everything culminates at the state tournaments. But long before that, there are lots of great rivalries, some of which you've highlighted today. And it should be fun to just see how things develop. Like in our league, we've got things. Milwaukee's 2-0 and won both their first two games by 30. I don't know when the last time that happened was, but I'm sure they're going to be very good this year. So it's always fun to see, you know, who's the surprise team and who's kind of got young kids that are good. And that changes from year to year, so it'll be fun to see how that all plays out this year.
Wilsonville will play their very first game of the season this Friday night at West Lynn. Well, we promised you some final thoughts in the fall season from the boss, Jerry Ulmer, the editor-in-chief of OSA Today. Stop by to share some of his favorite moments from fall 2019.
Jerry Ulmer wrote quite a bit about football throughout the fall for OSA Today and at various levels as well. But I'm going to start you with a big broad question. What was your favorite football storyline of the fall?
That's a tough one. There's a lot of stuff going on. I was really intrigued with how Lake Oswego changed their offense going into the playoffs. Actually, in their last regular season game against Lake Ridge, they just scrapped what they were doing. They had lost. They got blown out by Tigard and Tualatin, and they realized that it wasn't going to work. So they decided to have Casey Philkins basically become a old-fashioned single-wing tailback. And from there, they made a nice playoff run, and they were right there with Central Catholic. And, Central Catholic pulled away at the end there in the 6A final. That has to go down as one of Steve Corey's greatest coaching jobs, just the way he reinvented that offense there at the end, him and Carl Hallberg, of course. But I thought that was fascinating. What do you think, Bob?
Well, and, you know, we've both seen a lot of Steve's teams, and, you know, some of his championship teams haven't had the huge amount of talent, but there's always been one person that they built it around. But in this case with Philkins, I mean, to completely change, you know, football works. You don't just change the offense in general, but to completely rework it and then put it in the hands of one guy that everybody in the stadium knows is going to touch the football every play.
Right.
And in the semi, he did touch the football on every play. And in the final, just there were a couple of odd ones, especially as the game went along and they were not in contention. But that's inhuman that anybody can achieve that. And it really speaks a lot about Philkins. And I think especially his durability, you know, that he took all those hits. He's obviously smart enough to know how to get tackled and how to avoid contact. And it says quite a bit about him, I think.
Well, yeah, and the fact is he played quarterback in youth ball, so he knew how to throw it, and he wasn't classically trained, you know. I mean, it was obvious he didn't have that, you know, perfect quarterback form, and he'll be the first to admit that. But, he showed that he could get the job done throwing the ball in the semifinals when he threw for, what was it, 225 yards or something like that. So, Stanford, we were all joking with him about the – maybe Stanford will have him throw the ball a little bit down there. Well, who knows, you know? It's a weapon that maybe they can tap into.
Well, and remember, John Lynch was a quarterback before he ended up being a safety at Stanford and, you know, went on to his pro career and, of course, now successful GM with the 49ers. So Stanford is certainly a school with that tradition. Owen Murray, I think, from Jesuit, went down there and played both ways.
Right.
At Stanford, so that's the place to do it. And we poked fun at David Shaw a couple times on the broadcast the last 2 weeks, saying,
hey, note what this guy can do. He could play anywhere. And,
right.
And
yeah.
They're pretty good at figuring that out at Stanford. So I think that just, again, bodes well for what Casey's going to be able to do and really enjoy his college career.
Right, yeah. Don't want to overlook what Central Catholic did in the final, though. I mean, that was, you know, you could tell from the start of the season that senior group was really locked in. You know, I was there when they played their opener against West Lynn, and they looked like they were very serious and you know, ready to make their last season count, and that's exactly what they did. They hit a little bit of a rough patch when they lost to Jesuit. Jesuit just ran all over them, but they seemed to tighten things up after that. And of course, Cade Knighton was the quarterback, was just super efficient all year. So you know, what they did in the final, just basically systematically passing the ball through Lake Oswego, was very impressive. So anyway, third title for Steve Pine. You know, he's had a great run at Central Catholic, and we'll see how things go forward for them.
Yeah, I think there's a good discussion too. Was this the best of all those Central Catholic teams he's had, or really going back to Joey Harrington, and going back to Joe Bushman and Terry Summerfield before that, coaching at Central? I think this is the best team, although several Central Catholic coaches reminded me during the week that the 13-14 team did have a couple of future NFL players in Ryan Nall,
yeah,
and Cameron Scarlett, who were pretty impressive. But I think as a group, I just thought, you know, it was a wide open offense, but a very good defense and a very disciplined line. And I thought Central really had the whole package.
They did. Yeah, I wouldn't want to go against those 13-14 teams, though, because if you remember how good they were up front, those were some of the best offensive lines. I think there was a year there when maybe I think all those guys went on to play in college. So, this was a really good Central team. I don't know if I'm ready to put them on par with those 13-14 teams.
Now, the other interesting large old story of the fall was the rise of Mountainside in its third varsity year. And, of course, John Mannion's had all kinds of success coaching previously in California and Silverton. But the formula of taking all freshmen and sophomores, playing that non-varsity schedule for a year, and then slowly building into this really paid off, and they really look like team of the future.
Yeah, well, you know, they started out the season with a 28-3 loss to Jesuit, and then they had some narrow losses to Beaverton and Aloha, but obviously the big statement for them was beating Tigard, you know, and no one saw that coming. But Brian Mannion, the sophomore and the coach's son, they put him in at quarterback and shuffled some things around, and they just seemed to take off from there. That they had an excellent defense, and you know, they weren't too far away from making the semifinals. They led Barlow in the fourth quarter. They've come a long way, and with John Mannion there, who knows? They could be the program that finally steps up and challenges Jesuit every year from here on out.
Now, it certainly looks like that's going to be the story going forward in the Metro League with those two programs. In the 5A championships, we got to follow the, of course, the story of Thurston throughout the year, and was not a surprise that Thurston was going to be a contender to win again. They had plenty coming back. Justin Stark has really built a tremendous thing down there. And but when everybody expects you to do it, it's that much harder. And they had to go through kind of the you know, the gauntlet of the really good 5A teams with the Silvertons and the Craters,
right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Everybody knows you're coming, and to achieve that's pretty impressive.
Right. Yeah. Well, they went into the playoffs last year as an underdog. You know, they made the run last year, kind of surprised some people. And, you know, obviously that dramatic win they had over Wilson on the championship. But this year from the start, everyone knew they were the team, and, you know, they knocked off Sheldon. That was a big statement there, you know, as far as bragging rights in Eugene. And then they just kept rolling from there. Cade Chris, the quarterback, fantastic season for him. And Wes Comer, the running back, who really was the guy that made the difference in the championship win over Crater when he busted that long touchdown run that gave him the lead in the second half. You know, it's just that they had a great line. Everyone talked about how great their line was with Grant Stark, you know, the Nevada-bound lineman, leading the way. You know, they lost 22 seniors, though, so the challenge will be for Justin Stark to see if he can keep this thing rolling.
4A, of course, and you wrote about this, during the year, the rise of LeGrand, which plays in that teeny little three-team league in Eastern Oregon, has to play a ton of non-league games along the way, and they made their way into the final against Banks. Everybody knows Banks, defending champ, even though they reloaded, still had a lot of talent. And LeGrand ends up with a pretty dominating championship win, and it was that kind of classic East Side-West Side thing. It was people don't see LeGrand all year, don't realize what a good program that is.
Yeah, you know, they came over to Klatsk and I early in the season, and we had Norm Maves run go out there to check in on LeGrand, and he came back from that saying, wow, you know, LeGrand is really impressive. You know, they just every week they were just sticking to two people. You know, it's hard to tell sometimes because they are playing in a small league and they play those teams twice. So, once they got to the playoffs, you know, they only gave up 16 points. They shut out their last three opponents. You know, to do that to Banks, which, you know, Banks has been so good for on offense for the last couple of years, and to do that in the championship match, that really says a lot. Rich McElmoyle. He'll tell you he's not the classic football coach, you know, but he took over that group because he wanted to make sure that they had a steady guiding force, and he turned out to provide that for them, and they got their title.
And then finally, we talk about the eight-man championship, Adrian, which is really difficult to find on a map, even with the Google. Put together a co-op team with Jordan Valley and knocked off St. Paul, which has a tremendous roster for a Class 1A team and also a lot of tradition. And Adrian looked good early in the year and backed it up in postseason, winning the championship.
Yeah, well, when they started the season with that big win over Dufour, well, that said a couple of things. You know, everyone realized Dufour probably wasn't the Dufour that we'd seen the previous 4 years that won those titles. But, you know, Jack Henderson, he was telling everybody, you know, man, this Adrian team is just loaded with athletes. And, you know, they were just putting up big numbers all year. They scored over 80 points three times. They were consistently over 70. To get to the final and do that to St. Paul, which ironically for the second year in a row, St. Paul loses 38-32 in the championship. The amazing thing about Adrian, you know, they had four kids from Jordan Valley on there that made the trip three times a week to go to practice. That's a 70-mile trip up north on US 95. It cuts into Idaho and cuts back into Oregon. Those kids really did provide a boost for them. So, it's good for Jordan Valley that they were able to – I think they're even planning on hanging a banner out there.
And so next time anybody on the east side of Portland is complaining about having to drive out to Sandy for a game on Friday.
Right, yeah.
Just think about what the Jordan Valley
group. Keep that in mind, exactly.
Is. And that's three times a week for practice plus games. And then, of course, there were road games. And, of course, every road game in that part of Oregon is a long trip as well. And a lot of fortitude shown by that Adrian Jordan Valley group. Well, football is done. And, of course, great job of putting together our writers for the other sporting events this fall. Anything else that you enjoyed reading about on OSA Today or following yourself during the fall season?
Well, you know, we talked about Central Catholic's football team, but, you know, a great story also for Central Catholic, Rick Lorenz, his last season as the volleyball coach out there, and they got to the championship, and they came up short against Jesuit. But Rick, you know, he's a coaching legend and in the Hall of Fame, and you know, just a great guy. And I go back with him quite a ways to when I was at the Gresham Outlook in the early 90s and covering those great Gresham teams that were playing those Central Catholic teams. So, you know, Rick's always treated me so well, and I know he's that way with everybody. So it was nice to see him get to the championship. I know he was disappointed they couldn't pull it out because it would have given him 12 titles and 12 runner-up finishes if they could have. But so he's going to settle for 11 titles and 13 runner-up finishes, but that's not too bad.
While Rick Lorenz may be down on the sideline at Central Catholic, but rest assured he will still be part of the volleyball community in the Portland area. That'll do it for OSA Today, the podcast. Thanks for stopping by on iHeartRadio app and RipCityRadio.com. I'm Bob Akamian. Next week, we'll dig into girls basketball, early season projections and thoughts from our experts. Thanks for coming along. This is OSA Today, the podcast.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.